You looking for a Dexter podcast? Well, tonight's the night because we're doing it. It's the Dexter podcast on post-show recaps, getting you ready for the return of everybody's favorite serial killer killing serial killer, Dexter Morgan. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm so excited because Dexter's coming back, but much more than that, I'm so excited because we're doing a Dexter podcast, and I'm not alone. I am here with my compatriot, my partner in crime, your co-host for the Dexter New Blood podcast here on Post Show Recaps, LaTanya Starks. LaTanya!
Josh, you are not alone. I am here with you.
Yeah.
Though we're far away, I am here to stay.
What would your serial killer name be? Like, if you were like, what's like your, I'm not John Lithgow, I'm the Trinity Killer name?
That's an excellent question.
Is it a hard question that you should have, like, had an answer prepared for?
Yeah, I should have. That is difficult to say. I'm probably they'd probably call me the notes taker.
The
or
note,
something like that.
The note taker.
The note, like, what's another word for lever?
a lever of notes?
The clue killer.
Clue killer? So you're going to kill all the clues.
Yeah, I'm going to leave a clue. Like, I want the chase. Like, that's what I want, more so even than the killing.
Yeah.
I want to play a game of cat and mouse with Popo. Yeah. So I'm going to leave behind clues, much like the Zodiac did, just not, you know, as ridiculous as his clues were that took a million years to decipher. Like, they're still deciphering.
Too complicated,
some of this stuff.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Honestly, a little too complicated.
Keep it simple. I'm just gonna be like, I did it over there with an arrow.
You know, having to like wait, you know, decades and decades until what, like 2 weeks ago, like and you're not even alive to enjoy it anymore.
I don't know.
Anyway, we're talking about serial killers and stuff because we're talking about Dexter. We're talking about Dexter New Blood, which is to call it the ninth season of Dexter is accurate in some ways, and in other ways, it is not what Showtime wants you to call it. Dexter New Blood, it is a mini series debuting November 7th, 2021, not quite 10 full years after the much ballyhooed Dexter series finale. We are returning to the world of Dexter. It is the latest show to get the resurrection treatment, LaTanya. And I think the announcement of this show was what? When did they say that this was coming back? Like something like October 2020, it was ordered as a limited series. And I think around that time when the show was ordered to series, I made a note in my personal journal. I have one of those, by the way. And I wrote down, okay, so I guess Post Show Recaps is doing a Dexter podcast. And it was about 4 months ago, something like that. It was like 2 months ago, you and I were having a conversation. And I was like kind of like telling you about a few of the things that I had planned for the fall for Post Show Recaps. And I wrote down like Dexter podcast was a thing that I felt like we should do. And so like kind of think that we should do it, but I don't know. And then you're like, oh, no, the Post Show Recap should have a Dexter podcast and I should be on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, now we're going to do it for sure.
Right. So I says to myself, LaTanya, I says, Josh, here is what we need to do. We need to, like, it's new blood, you know, I'm new blood. Put me in, coach. I says,
you calling me old blood?
Slightly older blood, more experienced blood.
Yeah. That doesn't quite the same ring to it, though.
Not at all. But when we were talking about this, I was just like, if I don't do this podcast, I'm going to go insane and take you with me. Essentially.
You're coming with me. Yeah. So instead, we're both going to choose insanity, and we're taking each other along for the ride as we are going to be covering Dexter New Blood. We're going to do episode recaps once the show premieres. We're using this as an opportunity to announce the podcast. podcast. We're doing the podcast. It's going to be the first of a couple of preview shows that we will do just to get you all ready for the show's return. We're going to have a feedback email, dexter@postshowrecaps.com. That's going to be how you can get feedback to myself and to LaTanya. So send that in, dexter@postshowrecaps.com. is the way. I'm really
want your feedback. Wait. I want to know like who people's favorite serial killers are, you know, just at a baseline.
Here's the thing. So I have watched, I think, most but not quite all of Dexter. Mm-hmm. I was really, 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 really super into Dexter for those first four seasons. Loved the first four seasons of the show. And then I actually remember really, really, severely disliking the fifth season of Dexter.
Was that the Lumen season?
That's the Lumen season. Yeah. But then I watched the sixth season. I stuck around with it. And I think I dropped off for most of the seventh and basically all of the final season of Dexter. But, like, I always kept tabs on it. I was always sort of, like, lightly reading about it. But the show itself had kind of lost me. And I think, like, certainly, like, sort of like the popular conversation around Dexter is that, like, it was one of the it shows of its mm-hmm. moment when it was first around for the first couple of seasons. That fourth season specifically is often cited as, like, one of, like, the great seasons of, like, modern TV.
Yes.
I think that that's part of what made the show feel like it really lost its way after that is, like, how do you top the Trinity Killer? Maybe it turns out you can't, and in fact, like, you will, like, die trying.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was sort of, like, I think that's sort of reputationally where things are at with Dexter. The show isn't coming back, LT, unless, like, there is still, like, this feeling, at least from Showtime, that people will love the show, still love the show, and will receive the show, and want to see more of the show. Maybe it is some sense of, like, feeling like, well, we biffed the landing, we want to fix that, we want another shot at making that better. But I can only speak for myself, and then I would love to hear your, like, history with the show, that, like, I'm one of the people who, like, the show started to lose me, and, like, I'm going to be on this podcast being somebody who, like, once really loved the show, like, very, very faithfully watched it, and then felt betrayed by the quality of the show, but wants to come back to it and, like, see it return to its roots, see it return to the highs of the highs, and is also, cards on the table, highly skeptical of the show's ability to do those things.
Yes.
And so I want to say, like, up front, first of all, we're going to spoil all of Dexter inevitably in our conversation here and our conversation next week as well. So, like, if you haven't seen the whole show and that's something that you want to do without hearing us talking about that stuff first, you should go ahead and do that before you listen to this podcast. If you don't care, then proceed with, with a full lack of caution, because we will, nothing will be off the table. Mm-hmm. But I want to say, like, up front that, like, if you're really precious about the show, and if you really, really, really super love the show, warts and all, and, like, you are looking for the podcast where you're going to get, like, the people who, like, have the utmost, like, respect and fidelity for all eight seasons of Dexter, I just want to warn you that this isn't the podcast, probably.
Right.
That would be my guess. It's certainly that's where I'm at. Like, I'm not going to, like, look at this, like, fully lovingly, you know. I want to love Dexter, and I'm looking forward to giving it that shot, but, like, I didn't love what I saw past season four, and I don't love the reputation of the end of the show. So that's, like, the spiel. Like, if you're going to be like, I'm only looking for a Dexter podcast that's, like, going to be, like, very reverential of the show, it probably won't be us, LT.
No, I don't think so. I was one of those people who started watching Le Dexter very early on. So, like, right when it first started airing, it was kind of like appointment viewing for me. And I was just so blown away by the transformation that Michael C. Hall made from where I knew him best, which was on 6 Feet Under, to playing this character who, was a serial killer who only, like, who lived by a code, and therefore only murdered other serial killers. So he was just taking out the bad guys, just taking out the trash.
The trash needs to be clean.
Yeah, which he literally did he drops all those trash bags into the water, just like littering.
Not the
is
most
okay.
ecologically friendly vigilante out there.
No, and just keeping his blood slides wherever he goes, you know, making sure that no one gets a hold of those.
Yeah.
So yeah, I actually did watch every single episode of the show because I'm one of those people often who I can't fully admit to myself immediately when something has taken a turn for the worse. I really, if I like love something, and I've spent a lot of time with it, I just kind of keep going and hope that maybe things will turn around. But I'm with you. After season four, things definitely started to go downhill. A lot of the characters that were brought in, I wasn't a huge fan of them getting like the amount of screen time that they got.
You don't have to subtweet Quinn. You can just say his name.
Yeah. Quinn. Yeah. I could do without Quinn in the whole show, frankly.
Yeah.
I just, you know, he's got a punchable face. He, you know, he didn't like lend a lot to the whole show for me, really.
Yeah.
I thought it was also kind of hilarious how like all of the minority characters kept figuring out that it was Dexter who was a murderer.
Yeah.
And then they got.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I still stuck with the show because I was just so interested in watching this, like, this guy turn, from like doting, brother, like, you know, lover, doting father, you know, who gives his child to a fellow serial killer at the end. Cause that's a thing you do. That's good parenting.
You know, whoever's available.
Yeah.
I guess.
Poisoner or not. So yeah, I watched the whole thing and I was not okay with how the show ended. I was not happy about it. I didn't like the send-offs for any of the characters and I was really shocked to see at the end, we've got like a kind of more grizzled, like, what is it called? Flannel wearing Dexter.
Yeah, the lumberjack. It's the lumberjack, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so like, look, I need and I really want to like get myself into a position where like, I'm going to give the show a fair shake. I'm going to give Dexter New Blood a fair shake. And again, like, you know, like at me with the take of like, what are you doing talking about this? You didn't even finish the show. but like, I'm a veteran TV reporter. Latanya, I don't know if you know this, but
I don't know about this. Please tell me more.
You know, like my history before I decided I'm going to be a full-time podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent many, many moons in the trenches of entertainment reporting.
What about Suns?
What
just
about
moons?
Just moons.
Okay.
It was night work. We were doing night work, like
working
Dexter.
Working on my night cheese.
And so like I would always like pay attention to this stuff at the very least. And so like I was reading about absolutely everything. And so like I am the person who like wait. So they had Dexter run away and go into hiding as a lumberjack. That's
right.
The finale. And I think like a lot of sort of like the uninformed, jaded, just like cynical perspective on it, which I'm lumping myself into, is that like the Dexter finale is like one of like the stupidest endings ever. But I can't like say that with like authority because like I didn't watch it. You know, I didn't watch the episode, but like that's certainly like what the prevailing wisdom seems to be.
You know what you've heard.
I know what
many
I've heard.
Many people are saying or were saying, because they probably at this point stopped saying it. It's
probably
been a long time.
But
many
you stuck
people
with it.
Were
was,
saying,
was it the worst? Was it like the worst that
it
you've
was,
seen?
It was quite bad.
Yeah. And
I did not like what they did to Deb's character.
Yeah.
I thought that
she falls
was
in
just,
love with her brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened, and I didn't like the ending that they had for her. It was kind of just like a cop out. Like I thought it was a writing cop out.
He kills her. She gets shot. She's going to die, and he euthanizes her. Right,
yeah,
Dexter euthanizes
her. Puts her
Deb
in the water.
Yeah.
during like a huge, I think, hurricane of some kind that was going on because they're in Miami.
Does he chop her up?
No, he doesn't chop her up.
Thank
he just kind of like lovingly places her into the water and lets her float away or whatever.
LT, when I've reached the end of my line, will you do that for me? Will you lovingly place me in the water?
I will get you our most modestly priced receptacle.
Yeah.
And I will put you in it.
I'll budget out for it. I'll budget out for it. I'll say here's the water grave budget.
Okay. Cause I mean, there are rules to that kind of thing I learned. I don't know why I know this, but you're supposed to be a certain amount of like depth out into the water before you're able to like get rid of human remains,
mm-hmm.
or else you can get a ticket. Like you can get written up for it. So you would have to like make sure that in this budget you've got money to charter a boat.
Yeah.
As well.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind.
We'll talk it through. We'll develop the plan as we go here for sure. I think is important. But yeah, like the show is received the way that it is received, aka not well. I think it is not remembered particularly fondly. We are, were you surprised when you saw that the show was coming back, or did it feel like it was the kind of thing where like this had to happen?
No, I was very surprised that it was coming back because I hadn't heard a lot of voices clamoring for more Dexter content. I know that Michael C. Hall's career didn't exactly like, you know, take off the way that he probably hoped it would have after he got done doing such a long running prestigious show, at least like the first four seasons of one. I remember like his like earliest project after doing Dexter was that movie Kill Your Darlings about all of the actual like literary figures and a murder that occurred with those people. He was more recently in this like Netflix show called Safe.
Okay.
I watched the first episode of, and I was like, he's doing a British accent. I don't know. But also,
Michael C. Hall was?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And also, like, I just don't, I'm not intrigued by this show. And then he played John F. Kennedy on The Crown.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. It was a very odd depiction of him, too. Because he had to do another accent. You know, it's like the famous Kennedy accent.
Yeah, sure.
But other than that, like there hasn't been a ton of Michael C. Hall out there. So I am not surprised from a like his perspective why he would want to be doing a reboot right now.
Yeah, probably some extent of like, I think that like when they were doing like TCA tour and like making the rounds and doing initial press behind it, I think that like even Michael C. Hall, like without like maybe, I don't have the quote in front of me, but like without like outright saying it was like, yeah, you know, it wasn't great. Like, like we like didn't do the best job on like the way that the show ended and we would like to give it another swing. Cause you don't make it that far with that character without feeling a real certain kind of way. And then I think especially when like whether or not you're proud of the ending, if like the overwhelmingly loud answer to it is that like it wasn't great, like that's going to stick with you, whether or not like that means you have to re-engage it or that you've got the privilege of re-engaging it is also a piece of this. But if you have both the desire and the ability to do it, maybe you go ahead and do it. And Dexter is not the kind of show, LT, where it's like it was one creator who presided over the show for the entirety of the run, right? It's not like, Lost was Lindelof and Cuse's baby basically all the way through. They're done with it. They're not going to do it again. Like Dexter was a sort of different situation where like multiple showrunners were presiding over the series over the course of the run. Clyde Phillips was the I don't know if he was the initial showrunner, but I believe that he was running the show through season four. So the very much widely loved season four of Dexter for the people who hung around with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was I think it was who was it? It was Chip Johansson is the name of the executive producer who was showrunner for season five. And then the showrunner for the rest of the series for season six and onward. is a writer and producer, Scott Buck, who has credits on 6 Feet Under, Rome, a bunch of other things. But Clyde Phillips, who was the one who was like most credited for the success of the show for the first half of the series, left at after the Trinity Killer arc. Clyde Phillips is the showrunner of Dexter New Blood. So the person who presided over
the best
swath of Dexter, that's the person who has returned.
That's a good sign.
Encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, there was also just some behind the scenes tomfoolery that was going on with this cast because Michael C. Hall and Jennifer Carpenter were married
for a time.
And then, you know, she was there for him like during his like battle with cancer. And then when what is her Julia from Save the Last Dance?
Oh, Julia Stiles.
Lumen was cast as Lumen. She wasn't only a love interest on screen, but he also cheated on his wife, Jennifer Carpenter, who was on this show with him, with Julia Stiles.
Is this true?
This is a thing that happened.
There's an Us Magazine article from 2010. I didn't break up Michael C. Hall's marriage, according to Julia Stiles.
Which is what everyone declares.
She says, I have absolutely nothing to do with the split between Michael and Jennifer. We are good friends and enjoyed working together. This is a personal matter between them and we should respect their privacy. Although I, too, prefer to keep my private life private, I felt compelled to dispel the rumors I was somehow the cause for this matter. This is the quote from Julia Stiles in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You're not buying it.
No. Typically, when you have to come out and go,
I didn't do it.
Then, you know, there's some there.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot more out there, too, than just that People magazine article. But I remember following along with this and just being appalled, honestly, for Jennifer Carpenter, because I was just like, she's the best actress, because I don't know if I would be able to continue working with this person and like be falling, like actively falling in love with him on screen as my brother. When he and I are going through a divorce after I've helped him like through cancer.
Yeah.
And then they did an interview. I remember when they were interviewing the cast ahead of the fifth season, they were talking to Jennifer Carpenter, and she, in a very like shady kind of way, was just like, well, everyone knows that. No, it was season 5. That was the Lumen season. So this was about season 6. And she goes, well, everyone knows that that season 5 was a weak season, especially following up on the Trinity Killer with the characters that we had during that season. This season is much more a return to form now that we're done with that. And it was very much pointed, in my estimation, at Julia Stiles.
Yeah, I feel like I think that season 5 of Dexter is where they basically like blew up the show in a way that was going to be really hard to come back from, because the end of season 4, the Trinity Killer is dead. Rita is killed. And it's like one of those moments that's like kind of like one of those like really iconic TV deaths is like Dexter coming back and Rita has been killed by the Trinity Killer and she is in the tub. And Dexter's son is like in the blood in the bathroom. And it's like very evocative of like Dexter's own origin as how he was discovered by Harry as a kid.
The Trinity Killer literally recreated the tableau of everything that scarred Dexter for life.
It was really evocative. It was very upsetting. Julie Benz was great in the role, and now she's gone. And this is like the first major series regular death of the show since Dokes in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the setup is like really intense. And then like the very next thing that they do is they come back with a season where like immediately Dexter starts hooking up with like another blonde lady. And like that's like the immediate next arc. And so like the point of the show to some extent is like Dexter grappling with like Like how to like map his, how to map humanity onto his inhumanity to some degree, right? Like there are pieces of him that are, very scary and dangerous and broken. And, he's, you know, he's sick in many, many very real ways that are going to keep him from being able to function, in society. Certainly once he's like taken under the wing of his father and trained to like, you know, like murder people. Like, you know, like it's gonna be very hard to live a normal life beyond that. But like, I still feel like you need to like feel connected to the character in a certain way. It's not like he could never find a relationship again.
No,
the fact that they went there immediately, like within episodes in season five, was such a misfire that I think like It was very disrespectful to a character that had up to that point been somebody who we were very invested in in the form of Rita. And beyond being disrespectful to the character, I think it was like they really dishonored a very iconic story point in in not just Dexter history, but television history. So like that's where it slips for me, like, and it slips in a way that like, you know, whatever, make your jokes about Edward James Olmos and Colin Hanks and like the like the imaginary imaginary Adama as like one of your bad guys and like all of that stuff. And like the like, oh, God, Dexter and Deb are maybe kind of sort of going to do it. Like what's going to happen there? And like the show
also,
having
ew.
Show having to be like, well, they're not blood related.
You're exactly.
Like really like going out of their way to be like, this isn't so bad.
No, it's not so bad, people. We, like, we've thought about this.
Like these are all like pock marks on the face of the show, but like the we really messed up and like we'll probably never be able to unmess this up stuff, for me is like is season five, like just like so being so disrespectful to the Rita piece. But like can they clean slate this? You know, like the show does end in this way where he's on the run and he leaves, and so the new show, for those who don't know, it's going to take place. It's a decade after the finale is like the story. Dexter is in upstate New York, which typically on Post Show Recaps, we try not to talk about, but we will have to for the sake of this podcast. And he is living a new life under a new name, Jim Lindsay.
Jimsy.
Yeah. So Jim Lindsay. And he's living upstate. It's like a totally new suite of characters with some exceptions. Jennifer Carpenter is returning as a series regular, even though Deb is dead. So
Deb's dead.
We look forward to that. Yeah. But can like the 10-year time jump, LaTanya, and a total like clearing of the cast and a changing of the setting. Is this enough to like clean slate us for a new wave of Dexter?
That's a toughie. You've only been asking me tough questions. I have a tough question for you after I answer this, so I'll get you back.
Oh, go ahead.
So like, it's difficult to say because it had so much time has passed. It is, as we said, promising that they have the original showrunner back, but I can't imagine that this show is going to deviate from the formula too much. You know, like it seems from the previews that Dexter is dating a cop. So he's going to be involved in the world of law enforcement in some way.
Yep.
And that's probably how he determines. Well, I guess like he's taken a sabbatical from murder at this point.
It would seem like he's like trying to not kill people.
Yeah. Which, you know, is a choice that most people make every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's sometimes hard. Like I wake up and I'm like, I'm not going to do this.
I'm not going to murder anyone.
Not today.
Not today. Not on Rex Manning Day.
No.
But yeah, I don't know that it's going to be enough, because I do think that it's still going to be pretty formulaic as to the way they do it. I mean, there is a ritual that Dexter goes through in order to prepare for his kills. And that ritual exists for a reason, because serial killers are very ritualistic in the way that they carry out their business. But that also exists for the sake of the show as well, the way that the kill rooms and the kills are done. I know that that the person that's his guardian angel from now on is going to be Deb.
Right. That seems to be the case. Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how that's different from the advice that Harry was offering. And then we also get from the previews that Harrison, his son, actually comes back into his life as well.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, like, for me, the litmus test is going to be like how long it actually takes before they get Dexter back into the murder of it all.
Like, do you want it to be a long time or a short period of time?
I think it needs to be a short period of time in order to keep my interest.
Got it.
Because what else is he doing? I don't care about Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Like, I haven't cared about Alaska ever, but especially like when all that Sarah Palin stuff was happening.
In fairness, it's upstate New York, not quite Alaska. Oh,
I thought, why did I think it was Alaska?
No, Alaska would be cool.
Yeah, I think just when I see cold, I'm like, oh, that's Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's Alaska, New York.
Oh, right. New Alaska.
New Alaska.
But yeah, so it's upstate New York and I'm an idiot.
No, you're
good. No Sarah Palin at all. That we know of.
That we're aware of.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see how they're going to show how he's been passing the time, because you've got to do
knitting.
Something. Right. Making nice little like koozies and pillows for people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Crochet.
You have to do something with that energy that he has, you know, with that, like, you know, the need that he has to take other human life.
Yeah.
The question that I have for you is, okay, so say you are Harry and you find Dexter.
Yeah.
And as you're raising him, you start to realize that he's a little bit different from the other kids and that he might be heading down the path that his own father, biological father, went down and actually like start murdering people. Was it a good idea for Harry to start teaching Dexter the code?
No. This is a hard question. No, don't teach your son.
I just wonder what
people.
Else you do. Like, what else do you do with a kid who has those types of compulsions?
All right. So, look, a couple of things. I'm not a parent, and I'm not a parent for a reason. Probably
you're a cat parent.
I'm not a parent for a reason because I myself am still a child. So, like, don't take any advice on parenting from me, except for this one. I feel pretty confident in giving you this bit of parental advice. Don't teach your kids to murder people.
I guess.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't, like, you only murder the bad ones.
Right.
Don't even do that. Don't
only
do
the baddies. Only the baddies.
You notice that your kid is trending towards psychopathic, sociopathic behavior. Consult the professionals. You go, I think something's wrong with poor little Dexter. Can you evaluate him for me? And then they'll evaluate the kid. And then, like, you take it from there. And I understand that there are some concerns potentially of like, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to hospitalize my child? Like, that's hard and that sucks. But like, maybe they should be hospitalized. I don't know, but they probably shouldn't be allowed to kill people.
Yeah. I mean, he's
Harry's a bad dad. Harry's a bad dad.
He's a pretty functioning member of society other than the murder, though.
The murder is a fairly big deal, though.
He's bringing people donuts. He's got donuts to spare.
He does a good impression of a functioning
of a human
being.
Man. Right.
But I think that like that was such a problem for me with like season five was because like there was like they were like showing like little bits of growth with him and that like maybe he is actually you know like actually starting to feel things and like beginning to have friends and like maybe he actually likes bringing them the donuts and everything. And then in season five he's like Rita who? You know, and so like immediately it's like, okay, so he doesn't care about any of these people. And okay, so like he will allow like for a situation where and I'm going to get the details wrong again. So like I'm owning this piece of it that like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about with a lot of this stuff towards the end of the show. Is that like what he like basically just like allows them to get into a situation where like it's like La Guerta or it's us. We got to kill La Guerta.
Yeah,
like,
basically.
At a certain point, dude, turn yourself in. But you don't care. Like, you're not going to turn yourself in. You would rather things, like, spiral horribly out of control. And I think, like, there is a certain point where, like, Dexter not, like, turning himself into the law is, like, where you kind of lose me. And so, like, that was always where I felt like the show should be barreling toward. And also that it felt like it would be, like, a severely dropped ball to not go here is to have... How do you not have the season where Dexter is caught and Dexter right. is arrested, and that's the season finale, right. not series finale. And how do you not have the season where it's Dexter behind bars, and now you're allowing all of the characters on the show to interact with him unmasked, and like to like have him like be exactly who he is, and then maybe in that season you're able to have him like escape and break away and do a little bit more of like the Hannibal in Hannibal type deal. But like, how do you not have, how do you not go there, LT? How do you not do the Silence of the Lambs with Dexter? And like, I feel like some measure of accountability needed to happen. I don't think this season is going to be that.
No, I don't think so either.
But maybe it could end in a way where like it could be that for like Dexter 2 Blood, you know, you know, the
too
next
fast, too bloody.
Yeah. The next limited series. But like there is like a level to which like Dexter clearly just does not care about anybody other than himself.
I mean, he had like by definition of him being is he a sociopath or a psychopath?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. But there's narcissism inherent in either of those. So he is basically just thinking of himself and like of his like most base needs. So it'll be interesting to see like what he's been up to, why he decided upstate New York was the way to go, because he loved Miami so much. You know, he was always getting those coffees and those Cuban sandwiches, and I doubt that those are readily available, at least in any good way, in upstate New York.
Certainly not as prevalently,
No. But yeah, and also, you know, like, he's got to get a whole new day job because he was a blood spatter expert, but he has to like leave all of that behind.
You don't think that he's going to be able to bring any of his references to upstate New York? He's like, yeah, I could be a blood. I could be forensics. So talk to all the people at Miami Metro
that I murdered
and I murdered and allowed to die and shattered their worlds and left them in the dust.
Just those people. They'll help me.
Yeah, I do wonder what his job is going to be. Like, I am like very interested to see like what's the vibe of the show going to be.
Right.
You know, like because that is such like a piece of the original run is like, you know, bright sun. Everyone's wearing like their Tommy Bahamas and like, you know, like going out there and like the like almost like, you know, like the really like bright and bubbly music sometimes. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like
the contrast was always really funny.
So like this is, you know, by like, you know, like physical geographic circumstances, this will be a colder show. Like, can you still like find some of the warmth in that? Because I do think that that was an asset of the show, was that like tonal whiplash of like sometimes it's like really bright and it pops and it's funny. And then like you contrast that with like how dark and like bleak it gets.
Yeah.
I hope that they're still able to like have some of that balance, but maybe they don't, and maybe a sequel series doesn't need to have that. Like the, I don't know if you were ever into Twin Peaks. Were you a Twin Peaks person at all?
So I only recently, like during the Quar, watched the first season of Twin Peaks. I tried to watch the second season, but it was a little out there for me.
Sure, yeah.
And then I also tried to watch the like reboot,
the return,
the return.
You shouldn't without the you do need, like it does require you to like remember, like if not remember everything, like at least have like some passing familiarity with it. But like it's a very different show and it feels very different and it looks very different.
It does.
The vibe is totally different.
I was mostly watching for like Laura Dern.
Yeah.
But
so like, maybe this could be that, where like maybe like it's like structurally super diff, and it just like looks really different and it feels and sounds different. And maybe that could work. I don't know what I want out of it. Like I think to some extent, like I'm really intrigued by the fact that it's Clyde Phillips coming back to do it. And like, is he going to try and bring it back to its roots? Is sort of like the attempt of bringing a show like this back to its roots, LaTanya, like doing what Dexter did in the first place, which was arrive in like a singular way. It arrived in a way where it was like, there was nothing quite like it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that again with a brand that is as recognizable A as Dexter and B as like reputationally battered as Dexter is? I don't know that you can. I'm curious to see them try.
It's hard to catch lightning in a bottle twice.
The one thing that they might have going for them is that this is probably going to be for a new generation, in addition to being for people who are like us, who are fans of the show originally. There's probably going to be like a lot of younger people who are just interested in the show and will view it differently. And maybe that will also influence how the show is made. But going off of the previews that I've seen and thinking about like the answer to the question of whether or not they'll be able to like recapture like some of that, like, you know, love and feeling. I don't know. I was just whelmed by the previews. I wasn't like over the moon about anything. It gave me just enough information to figure out this is what the show is going to be about. But like, it wasn't something that left me like wanting more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're getting more. It's happening whether you want it or not. And I'm, you know what? I'm always like, at least like sort of like morbidly curious about this stuff. I'm excited. Am I excited because like I think it's going to be great? I'm not. I'm excited because like I'm really curious to see what it's going to be. There may be like moments of greatness, and then there are probably going to be moments where it's not as good, because it's going to have to exist in the world where Dexter ran away and changed his name and his identity, and that whole thing is like a really dumb premise. Like that stinks, and you're going to have to live in the dumb premise. We know that like his son is going to be back in it. Jack Alcott, who has been cast as a series regular, is playing Harrison Morgan. You grew up fast, by the way.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be like 13 years old? He looks like he's 18.
He does look a lot older than what I thought he would look.
You know, so like it's going to have to like, you know, Deb is dead, and like it's great Jennifer Carpenter is back because that character is so good. But like, will Ghost Deb do it for us? I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
The show has to live in the shadow of some bad decisions.
It really does. Yeah. And it has to win back a lot of the goodwill that it lost from all of us who, you know, even if we did stay with it, you know, that series finale really just had people upset. Like I didn't hear a lot of positives coming from anyone when I was like reading stuff then, or just talking to people about the show who were still watching it after that series finale. So they're going to have to do a lot of work to like get us back on board, I think. I'm trying to trust in the process, in the showrunner being back, and in the fact that Michael C. Hall is a really great actor. And I'm interested to see what like his years of experience being away from this character and now coming back and like revisiting it, is going to present for us.
Yeah. I'm interested as well. I'm also psyched because Clancy Brown is in the show, and Clancy Brown, perennial, villain in like anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you've had a TV show, Clancy Brown probably showed up and was a bad guy once.
A Northwestern grad.
Is that right?
We have two graduation ceremonies at Northwestern. There's one with the entire, like with everyone in like at the football field. And then we have individual school graduations, and he graduated from the School of Communication where I graduated. And so he was our like individual school speaker.
That's cool.
Yeah. He seemed pretty nice, but also I was just terrified the whole time. I was like, is he the villain of this graduation?
Probably. Yeah. You know, Clancy Brown's always the bad guy. His character's named Kurt Caldwell. That's a bad guy.
These names.
That's a bad guy.
Come on.
Kurt Caldwell.
Ugh.
Yeah. Can't trust Kurt Caldwell. No way.
No way, Jose.
So we'll find out more about that. I'm excited about that. I think it's going to the show. I think it's going to be 10 episodes. I'm pretty sure.
Why not?
We'll find out exactly what that run looks like, but we're going to be here recapping the whole thing because somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. It has to be done.
It has to be done. It has to be done. And
it's
like,
not going
to
podcast itself.
It's not going to podcast about itself. Certainly, there's tons of podcasts about Dexter out there. So choose the one that works for you. We hope it's us. If it's not, there's other podcasts out there. You should seek them out. You should support the arts.
It's us.
You know,
you should just support us.
We would love it if you supported us. Yeah, but like, if it's not, then you need to support the one that works for you.
Sure.
LT, is there anything Dexter-ish that you want to say before we wrap this one up? We are going to do another preview show next week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about what it is we're going to do next week?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We're going to watch the final episode of Dexter. We're going to watch the series finale.
We're going to watch the first episode.
We're going to watch the first episode of Dexter, and we're going to watch the final episode of Dexter as it currently stands. The series premiere and the series finale. And we will mark the two and talk about them in conversation together as a way of paving the way to discuss more things Dexter. Get some takes on the field. And I think probably it's going to be somewhat important for us to have like fresh recall on, if not the entire final season of Dexter, then at least that final episode.
Yeah, I can see myself watching some YouTube videos about like recapping the other seasons, because there's negative way that I'm going to be
going back and rewatch
the whole show again. It's just not going to happen. And if someone tries to make me, I might have to choose violence.
All right, well, I won't make you then.
Great.
I need you to stick around long enough to bury me at sea.
Oh, right.
So, like, you gotta keep it cool, man.
If I die first, just like, just cremate me and then, like, go have some fun at Red Lobster.
Do I have to go to Red Lobster?
I think you have to.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, all right.
Get some Cheddar Bay biscuits.
I was gonna say, I'll probably eat the bread.
Oh, because you're that with the seafood, right?
No, I love the seafood. But I haven't been to a Red Lobster. They had decent mozzarella sticks, if I'm not
mistaken. They're in a Beyonce song, you know? Like, how bad can they be?
I haven't been in a long time. But I do remember loving the bread.
Yeah, the bread's great.
They sell
that bread now in the store.
Very good. We want that. All right. Yeah. If Dexter is, should we set some stakes? If Dexter New Blood is very good, we are going to treat ourselves to Red Lobster. And if Dexter New Blood is very bad, we're not going to treat ourselves to Red Lobster.
Right. We're going to treat ourselves to Blue Lobster.
Okay.
Which is just, it's just nothing.
Okay.
It's not even a thing.
We'll go to Red Lobster either way, I think.
Yeah. We'll take our ass to Red Lobster, as Beyonce would say.
We'll do a Red Lobster. Any other Dexter things that you wanna say before next week?
I'm just really interested in what this is going to be. And I'm happy to go on this ride with you. It's gonna be silly. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to comparing what Dexter does in this new limited series to what some of the other prolific serial killers in the real world have done.
You're fascinated with serial killers.
Love them.
Talk about
that. That's a weird way to like, I love them so much.
Talk about this.
Well, okay. So when I was very young, I wanted to be a forensic pathologist.
Oh, I'm so glad it went there. Whoa. Oh, God.
I did. Oh. I wanted to be a forensic pathologist when I was very young.
I wanted to be a serial killer is definitely what I thought you were about to say. My goodness.
No, I wanted to be a vampire.
And now your question about if you were Harry makes a lot more sense, and I answered poorly.
You did.
Apparently.
Yeah. I wanted to be a forensic pathologist. And then I realized, like, that's a doctor, you know, and math and all that stuff. So I wanted then to be a psychiatrist, but like someone who focuses primarily on people who have, like, who are serial killers and have like mental health issues that would cause them to like do multiple murders. I just find the makeup of those people's brains to be incredibly fascinating. Like the nature versus nurture aspect is always something that I wonder about. I watch way too many documentaries about like people who have killed. Like I know way too much about like prolific serial killers. And I'm a big true crime person too. It's always been a thing for me, like to the point where I used to like, I was a kid and I was allowed to watch autopsies, because those are things that actually exist. Like if you go on HBO Max right now, and you search, I think it's like Dr. Bodden. He's like a really prolific forensic pathologist. I believe he, did
the forensic pathology for Martin Luther King Jr., maybe wow. JFK as well. And he used to have a show that was just like, I think it was just called Autopsy. And they would just have autopsies
streaming on HBO.
It is. Yeah, it's still there. That's where I watched it when I was young, and I wanted to do that. And then I got more interested.
I am thinking I'm so badass. I'm like, yeah, I saw Terminator 2 in theaters when I was a first grader or whatever. Latanya's out here being like, yeah, I was a first grader watching autopsies.
Autopsies. Yeah.
LT. Yeah, I was watching autopsies.
You know.
Tired. I saw Terminator 2 as a kid in theaters. Wired. I saw autopsies. Straight
and
up.
So, and that made me more interested in how people got that way. Like, how did these people get dead, essentially? And then I started to find more and more statistics about serial killers. I legitimately believe that the only reason, like, it was in the back of my mind and I didn't realize this, but the only reason that I joined the sorority that I joined was because that was the one that Ted Bundy had attacked at FSU. I have problems.
Wow.
But, you know, this is the perfect podcast to discuss them.
To exercise those demons, potentially.
This yeah. house is clear.
Yeah. Well, there will probably be many moments where, like, Dexter kills a person and disposes of the body. Like, Dexter leaves something behind, or there's mm-hmm. going to be a killer, like whoever the new Trinity killer type character is.
Right.
Like, that's going to, like, make a mistake. We'll have a lot of, like, autopsies on those decisions of our own to conduct.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of that going on here.
A lot of postmortems.
A lot of postmortems. Mm-hmm. Like, what could they have done better as killers? I think is probably like it'd be a lot of like the sort of like the bloody work that is to be conducted here on the Dexter.
I've got a whole list of places that don't have extradition treaties with the United States. Just in case you're wondering.
I'm watching Succession. Sarajevo. Let's go. Get out of here.
Exactly. Hit me up on Twitter at LK Starks if you want to start a new life in a non-extradition site.
All right. You heard it here. If you want to start a new life, follow at LK Starks. Latanya is very much all over post-show recaps right now. Just appeared on the Ted Lasso podcast with myself and Antonio Mazzaro on our feedback show that wrapped our Ted Lasso season 2 coverage. So go and check that out. Latanya is also running point on our podcast coverage of Insecure, the final season on HBO, co-hosting with Chappelle and Mari Forth. LT, what can you tell us about The Insecure? By the time people are listening to this podcast, The Insecure mm-hmm. final season premiere is already out. What do we think? Was it great?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Yeah. The music is going to be good. The vibes are going to be there. And we're going to get so many answers to questions that we had at the end of season 4 that were just cliffhangery. Cannot wait. And Issa's going to look fantastic. She's got her own hair care line IRL now. I just have to say that they've done a very good job throughout the show of growing out Issa Rae's hair. And so it makes me excited.
Yeah. Should Michael C. Hall have a line of Dexter hair products?
Probably. I think that everybody needs their own line of hair care products at this point.
Me too?
Yeah, we should have a post-show recaps brand of hair care products.
Okay. Maybe if we survive another 7 years as a network, we will get to the point where hair care products are part of the deal.
Once we've gotten to Dexter Third Blood or whatever.
Yeah, no, we're talking Seventh Blood.
Okay.
We gotta get through, like, there will have to be like 6 full bloods that we're gonna have to go through. And then when we're at the Seventh Blood, we will have our own hairline.
We're just gonna have a full on gang war. We're talking about the bloods right now.
Yeah, yeah. We're choosing violence.
Yeah. It's been chosen.
Oh my God. So there's so much happening. I'm so excited for this one, LT. It's going to be a great podcast. We'll do our best to like do like really strong, good character story analysis, mm-hmm. but I expect it's going to be a lot of like bad dad jokes. I did have like a really fun Dexter dad joke. Would you like to hear it?
Oh my gosh, would I?
Okay, so here's the joke. What did the party goers say at the surprise party for Barbara Streisand's character in the Meet the Fockers universe?
I don't know.
Surprise, motherfucker. That was my Dexter joke. Do you like that?
See, this is the thing, is I'm just going to encourage you.
Did you like that?
I did. That was a good one.
So that's what people will get when they listen to the podcast.
Yeah. And there'll be some singing, too, I'm sure. Like, if Emily doesn't just, like, you know, text me and be like, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'll be some singing.
I'm so excited about this because, like, we're living in a world where Post Show Recaps currently has active podcasts about Lost,
yes.
24, and now Dexter.
Yeah.
What year is this?
Who that depends on whether or not you believe time is linear.
What's happening? So it's going to be great. It's going to be great. We don't know how the show will be, but the podcast
is going to rock.
We're going to have a very fun time. We hope that you're going to have fun with us. We want you here. We hope you're along for the ride. Send us your feedback. Dexter at postshowrecaps.com. Hit up LaTanya at LK Starks. I'm at Round Howard. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll have a Dexter specific feed coming your way very soon. But in the meantime, just the main Post Show Recaps podcast feed and you will get Dexter podcasts. Of course, we would love to hear from you in the Post Show Recaps patron community. If you want to support Post Show Recaps on Patreon, that's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Support the arts. Go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps is the way. LaTanya, anything else?
I'm just looking forward to this journey with you, Josh.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be wonderful.
I can't wait to go deeper and like dig into this and like discover my own dark passenger, mm-hmm. right? Like who is who's the scariest version of myself? Like I want to meet that guy.
I want to meet that guy too.
Yeah, we'll bring him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring him out. Bring him out.
Some real sick stuff might come up here in the weeks ahead. So next week, we are going to be talking about the series premiere of Dexter, as well as the At the Time series finale. We will use those episodes as ways to continue talking about Dexter. So we'll be back in 1 week's time. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.